This is Audible.
Dreamscape presents How to Starve Cancer and Then Kill It with Ferroptosis by Jane McClelland, narrated by Nano Nagel. Important warning and disclaimer. This book is not and does not seek to give medical advice. The stories in this book reflect the author's experiences and recollection of events, and this book seeks to enlarge the current debate about cancer treatment. The author and publisher are not liable for any personal injury or damage that may arise through improper application and a failure of the individual to seek correct medical advice with any of the treatments outlined in this book. The author is a trained medical physiotherapist and self-trained nutritionist, not a medical doctor. What may work for one person may not work for another person. The effective treatment of one type of cancer may not work against another type of cancer. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration, NICE, and the MHRA do not currently approve the use of any of these off-label drugs for the treatment of cancer. Drugs used for a different condition or purpose to the one it was originally granted a license for are known as off-label. Only your own doctor and you can decide if these drugs are right for you. Research with off-label drugs for use in cancer is still in its very early stages. Use of any of these should be considered experimental, and taking the ones mentioned in this book or any other drug should be approached with extreme caution and responsibility and with the full knowledge and approval of a medical practitioner. The recommendations given here have been scrupulously researched by the author and the publisher and carefully checked and reproduced to their best knowledge and belief. The information contained herein is in no way intended to substitute the advice and assistance provided by a doctor or other medical professional. These drugs and other treatment modalities have not been proven conclusively in large randomized clinical trials, considered the benchmark before a therapy is adopted as standard of care. Because of this, your doctor will not offer these treatments to you, and your insurance may be affected. Listeners must seek medical advice prior to embarking on the program described in this book. Foreword by Dr. George W. Yu, Clinical Professor of Urological and Pelvic Cancer Surgery, George Washington University Medical Center, Aegis Medical and Research Associates, and President of the George W. Yu Foundation for Nutrition and Health. I read Jane's book in one day and took 10 pages of notes. It is a wealth of information, yet it reads like a novel, well organized with many excellent references to put the theme of starving cancer cells as part of a paradigm shift away from traditional cancer protocols. How to Starve Cancer is a must-read for the brave individuals with progressing cancers who want a better choice than just a poor ultimatum, patients trying to navigate uncharted waters with little more than hope. This book will inspire them to take control of their destiny. It is also a must-read for medical doctors to understand their patients, diligently searching for answers, seeking help, guidance, thoughtfulness and empathy from us, their physicians, just as Jane did with her doctors. Jane's book centers on repurposed drugs used for other medical diseases with impressive cancer research results and clinical outcomes. In 1971, the father of American oncology, Sidney Farber, explained to United States Congress, "It is not necessary in order to make great progress in the cure of cancer, for us to have the full solution of all the problems of basic research. The history of medicine is replete with examples of cures obtained years, decades, and even centuries before the mechanism of action was understood for these cures. This is what repurposed and off-label drugs are about. A cancer cell's metabolism is constantly adapting and can first fuel its needs with sugar fermentation, then adapt to use glutamine and eventually even use ketones for its growth and survival. Success depends on a multimodality cocktail approach, used sequentially and pulsed, just as are successful treatments with HIV and AIDS disease. As a surgical oncologist and urological cancer surgeon for 35 years, I have incorporated many of these drugs, along with intermittent calorie restriction and metabolic enhanced chemotherapy, with a gradual and growing success. Jane is a brave, courageous woman who was plagued with two aggressive cancers with metastatic spread. She used her great passion for research to discover medical treatments on her own, step by step, mistake after mistake, to finally prevail and survive today. Each one of us who develops a cancer will go through much of what she experienced. They should be encouraged by her success to find wisdom when current traditional routes have predicted fatal outcomes. Dr. George W. Yu. It is not enough to be remembered for one's wealth, knowledge, and achievements. One does not make a difference unless it is the difference in people's lives. Joseph Schumpeter, Adolf Drucker, The World According to Peter Drucker, 1998. More so, the mark of true achievement and truth is to change the life of the common man who will never know who you are. George Yu, M.D. Introduction. I was supposed to die. That's what my doctors expected in 1999 when they broke the news that my cervical cancer had spread to my lungs. It was stage 4. There is no stage 5. The statistics gave me approximately 12 weeks to live. Few things are as motivating as the specter of certain and imminent death. No way was I ready to shuffle off this planet. I was young, only 35 years old. I was in love. I desperately wanted to have children. I had professional ambitions. I could not accept that there was no treatment other than the conventional chemotherapy and radiation. I refused to accept that I had no future. Determined to find a cure, I threw myself into research. I was sure that the medical profession was missing something. As a chartered physiotherapist, I had a scientific background that enabled me to dig up and assimilate information quickly. Cancer, I realized, behaves just like a parasite. The cancer cells in my body were stealing nutrients, blood, and immunity from me, and using them as weapons against me. Parasites thrive and reproduce unabated until they either exhaust their food source or kill their host. With cancer, it's usually the latter. But how could I starve cancer of these nutrients without starving myself? This was the question I set out to answer, using myself as a guinea pig. To my knowledge, no one had done this before. No one had yet come up with a constellation of therapies, using safe old drugs and natural compounds that would attack the abnormal cancer metabolism as well as the genetics. That is, attack the cells from every direction. Cancer, I have learned, has several food sources: glucose, glutamine, fatty acids, and ketones. It also uses saturated fat to travel around the body. I knew I would have to starve my cancer cells of all of these if I were to kill them off, especially at an advanced stage of the disease. I would need a large arsenal of weapons, but they would have to do minimal harm to me. I began a cancer-starving diet, eliminating sugar and other foods that cancer loves to feed on. When that was not enough, I added powerful supplements. Ultimately, it was a combination of common old drugs, uncommonly used, the diet, and supplements that forced my cancer cells to melt away. When I used all of these weapons together, they worked synergistically. their anti-cancer effects were heightened. Boom! My cancer slunk off into remission. Since 2004, it has not come back. At long last, the concept of starving cancer has become the hot new frontier of cancer research, validating my long-held theories. Several studies have demonstrated the effectiveness of cancer-starving diets. In 2015, I was absolutely thrilled to discover that a clinic in London had begun studying a combination of drugs nearly identical with the cocktail I invented. And their results are impressive. A clinic in Istanbul is also using a combination of methods to starve cancer, again, with outstanding results. Pharmaceutical companies are now falling over themselves to develop metabolic drugs to attack cancer. But solutions exist already and cost only pennies a day. The medications I took are widely prescribed for other medical conditions. They include metformin, commonly prescribed for diabetes, statins, often used to treat high cholesterol, dipridamol, given to stroke patients, and an anti-inflammatory drug, aspirin, then later Etodolac. And in 2007, for 3 months, I took a drug called cimetidine, available over the counter in many countries for stomach ulcers, but I took it for its immune-enhancing effects. Taking my drug cocktail for just a few months was enough to halt my cancer in its attempts to take over my body. All these medications are cheap and off-patent, which is why they have largely been ignored by the pharmaceutical industry, despite research supporting their effectiveness against cancer. Pharmaceutical companies are all too often more interested in making money than in curing people. Remember the 1980s, when a diagnosis with HIV was a death sentence? Now, most HIV infections can be controlled with a cocktail of drugs. HIV-positive people can lead healthy lives and have near-normal lifespans. This, I believe, could also be the future of cancer. A fundamental transformation in oncology is long overdue. The number of people to be diagnosed with cancer is predicted to rise 70% by 2030. A new approach is desperately needed if we are to halt this increasingly tragic situation, which is set to be a bumper time for the pharmaceutical industry. We are mostly living longer, but not more healthily. This has to change. Taking personal responsibility for our own well-being is a necessity. There are now several trials underway, using old forgotten medications to treat a range of cancers. Sadly, most test only one drug at a time, alongside the orthodox treatments, so progress is painfully slow. The elusive cancer stem cells, the initiating cells untouched by chemotherapy and radiotherapy, can be reached and obliterated with many of these medications. This means that in combination with other treatments, given at less toxic doses, they offer the exciting possibility of turning cancer into a long-term chronic disease or permanent remission, that is, a cure. This is the story of how I beat all the odds and forged a unique path. Somewhere between complementary and orthodox medicine, not only ridding myself of cancer, but regaining vibrant health on the way. On my journey, I discovered some simple truths that ultimately led to my approach to beating cancer. Starve it, stop it spreading, then snuff it out. I stubbornly clung to life like a Yorkshire terrier, refusing to let go of an old shoe. Grrr! And I want to show you how you can dig your teeth in too. If you've been told that nothing more can be done, I am here to let you know that this is almost certainly not true. Wishing you a healthy, happy, and revolting life. 10 Steps to Starving Cancer. First, the background. In 1924, Otto Warburg discovered that all cancer cells have an altered metabolism. He was awarded the Nobel Prize in Physiology for this discovery in 1931. The way cancer cells use nutrients for